Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one this evening, and we do give you a very warm welcome into our service in the name of the Lord. And maybe you can be seated tonight. Praise God. And I want to try and continue a bit from maybe a little different from this morning, but tying some things in if I can. I want to speak tonight about the right offering was blood. And I want us to turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. And I really do like the book of Hebrews. And it's really hard to get out of the book of Hebrews if you're studying and you get this Hebrews and Romans. And they're two powerful books in the Bible for to bring out the atonement of Christ. And there's so many wonderful nuggets in them. And you know, there's a great man even before Spurgeon called William Gouge. And I've mentioned him to some other preachers. And he did a thing on Hebrews. It's like a volume. And it's a lot of stuff in it. But it's one of the best ones I've ever come across. A man called William Gouge. And I've never found anything else in Hebrews to match what this man did. Spurgeon even mentions him. And Spurgeon's a long time back. That's how far William Gouge is back. I find that some of the old things is better than the new. Because people want to give God a hand. And God doesn't need a hand. Amen. Aren't you glad the Lord doesn't need help? We need the help. And he's here to help. Amen. Let's read verse 4 of Hebrews 11 tonight. And the Lord bless those that's tuned in this evening. We just trust wherever you're listening in from or will. Maybe tune in to a later date from me. The Lord bless you. And our desire is to see people saved and delivered by the power of God. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. Then if we go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel's. Let us bow this evening, and while every head's bowed, every eye closed, if you have a need tonight, just lift your hand up before the Lord, and we'll pray for you this evening. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening that we have an open access from your footstool into your very presence because of the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God. Lord, we come pleading the merits of your precious blood tonight. And Father, we ask that you'll cleanse us and sanctify us with the precious blood of the Lamb of God tonight. I'm asking you especially for the hands raised. Father, that you'll meet the need, whatever it is, whatever the situation is, that Jesus Christ will come into the situation, and that there'll be a change in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I need you to help me this evening, and I take the Holy Ghost to help me, and I thank you that you do. Pray now you'll bless your word to everyone in this room and listening in, and I ask you, Lord, that Jesus Christ will come off these pages and that the Holy Spirit will bring them into the hearts and the lives of men and women and that somebody will get saved and delivered. Praying for any listening in tonight that's not saved, give them grace and save them. For those that need a miracle in their body, think of a dear friend this evening, you know all about him. Pray you'll touch him and give him the miracle he needs in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless all that's here and those that maybe couldn't be here tonight. Bless them. And above all, may you get all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, I've missed a lot of things out tonight. What maybe I'd planned to say, because I don't want to be too long and get too many scriptures and things, and I have a lot, even counting what I've missed out. But we can clearly see here from Scripture both Cain and Abel offered to God. And you could go into Genesis And you could read about Cain and Abel in Genesis. And you could see in Genesis how they offered to God. Now Cain must have offered well. He must have offered well. And we know from the fruit of the ground, that's what he offered. But we know God rejected Cain's offering. And when God rejected Cain's offering, Cain was wroth. He wasn't pleased. But the Bible clearly tells us Abel brought forth a blood sacrifice, a lamb. And the Bible clearly says it was a more excellent sacrifice than Cain's. And it pleased God. It didn't just please God, it satisfied God. So the trend is set in the Bible. God's word sets a key of interpretation for everyone that's to follow. And that key is that God was pleased with the blood shedding. Therefore, that's God's way. Any other offering never pleased God, never satisfied God. But Abel bringing the blood of a lamb satisfied God. Therefore, Abel must have had a revelation. And the Bible tells us that, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And faith really is a revelation. And a revelation is someone that personally belongs to you because God gives it to you. There's nobody gives it to you, only God. A man cannot give you a revelation. And no matter how good a preacher he is, it is God that gives the revelation. It is the Holy Spirit and the work only of the Holy Spirit that will open a man or a woman's eyes to reveal to them their need of salvation and their need of Christ. It takes the Holy Spirit to do that. And the Spirit of God must have moved Abel. And the Spirit of God in moving Abel gave him a revelation that God required blood. Now we know that Abel was a son of Adam. And we know that God came to Adam after the fall. And Adam hid himself. And we know that Adam and Eve sewed some fig leaves together and they tried to cover their nakedness. And we often talk about fig leaf religion. Fig leaf religion can be any religion that's man made. It's only a fig leaf religion. And the fig leaf wasn't enough. It didn't cover them. God didn't accept it. And we know that God himself sacrificed an animal and clothed them. And there was blood shed to clothe them. And when we read this morning, without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. Blood shedding is God's way and it's the only way. And God set it himself and Abel as a son of Adam, and we know Adam was a son of God, followed the revelation laid out by God himself. Now if Adam followed it and God was pleased with it and God accepted it, all through the Bible we must follow God's plan. And I said this morning, God has a plan. A plan. Not only has God a plan, but ever before man fell, and ever before sin was committed, God had a plan of redemption already in place. Because the Bible says he is the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God had a plan. We can see clearly then from the scriptures, he knew that the life was in the blood. Abel knew that. And there had to be a life offered up to cover his sin, to atone for him. And that life was the blood of a lamb. A life had to be given for life. Now Leviticus 17:11 tells us, and I often mention it, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. So God's way is blood. There's no other way. Now if you were to try and picture Cain this evening, Cain maybe wasn't a bad person. Cain was, he worked with the fruit of the ground, whatever he made, you know, maybe he brought a real brilliant display of vegetables and stuff, and fruit and all sorts of stuff. It would have been a bit like a harvest festival. Do you ever see a harvest festival they have in churches? Many's ever festival. And people do it, you know, and you could say, well, it's not scriptural, but then somebody else could say, well, I can show you scriptures for it. Because they brought from the first fruits before God. So I'm not here to worry about it in that sense. I hope you understand that, whether for or against. But I'm showing you, if you see the harvest festival, it's all well laid out before God. I want you to get this evening. Cain had it all well laid out. There'd be no harvest festival laid out better than Cain. Put it that way. But God didn't accept it. Because he never brought the thing God required. God required blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. So we clearly see that Abel had a word, a revelation from God. A word revelation. Let me say it like that. Not just a good thought, but a revelation from the Word of God. There's people today have good thoughts. How they can please God and do things to God. But the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. And when you come in faith, you will keep the Word of God. And you know that Ephesians tells us, for by grace through faith are you saved. You're not saved any other way. You're saved by the grace of God through faith in the finished work of Christ. The revelation revealed Abel, blood, was what had to be offered. Hebrews 9:22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. And remission means removal. Remission. Remitted. If you went to court and you were remitted, do you ever hear of a remittal case? Remittal. Well, I went and I wasn't remitted, but I appealed it. And I got a bit of ease. Didn't get as long. But you see, there was somebody took up our case for every one of us. Because every one of us were actually outlaws before God. Oh, but I never done this and that. You're still a sinner. You're born in sin, you're shaped in iniquity. The penalty of sin came in every man and woman because of one man. We saw that the other week. And every man's born a sinner by nature, a sinner by birth. But one man paid the price on the cross for the sins of the whole world so that our sins could be remitted, taken away. Now we can clearly see the scripture that the son of the evil one is called in one of the first epistle of John 3:12. That evil one, Cain, wasn't happy about Abel being accepted by God, so he slew him. And the epistle of John calls him the evil one. And he slew Abel, he rose up and he slew him, he killed him. And that's your first murder in the Bible. It's Cain killing Abel. And Abel's blood was spilled on the ground, shed onto the ground, spilled out onto the ground, or shed. I know really, maybe the word spill is not the right way to say it. If you spill something, it's wasted. You know, there's great singers years ago, and then they started singing about Jesus' blood was spilled. But I don't agree with that, because if I spill this glass of water here tonight, it's an accident. Because I didn't want to spill it. But the death of Christ was no accident. His blood was shed, not spilt. Amen. But the Bible tells us here, Abel being dead yet spake. Even though Cain killed him, and even though his blood was shed and went into the thorns of the ground, and the thorns represent the curse. Cursed shall be the ground. After man fell, God cursed the ground. He never had a thorn or a thistle till man fell. Tell you about that night, you never had a grey hair or a wrinkle till man fell. Sin brought all that because sin produces death. But I'm glad that there's one that says sin will not have dominion over you. And here's what else he says, death will not have dominion over you. And fear not him that's power to kill the body, but him that's power to kill the soul also. And the Bible tells us that the second death will have no power over the true believer. No power over the real believer. Aren't you glad for that tonight? By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Hebrews 11 verse 4. By which he obtained witness evidence that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift. And we know that Abel's blood spoke to God by faith, by revelation, something personally revealed to him by God. Now I'm going to come to the voice of the blood in a minute, and I love to talk about that, but for a moment I want to go to Romans chapter 4, verse 4 to 6, and then verse 13 and 16. Romans chapter 4, verse 4 to 6. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth in him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now you could argue the point that Cain done more works than Abel, but God didn't accept him. And there's a lot of people today can tell you and me, they go to church and they pay into the church and they do all wonderful things, but they've never accepted Christ. So they're lost. They've never repented from their sins. They've never acknowledged that they need to be born again in the Spirit of God. And they're lost. But they've good works. And there's no work can climb you to heaven. But it's the grace of God through faith that takes you to heaven. Verse 6 says, even as David describeth also the blessedness of the man to whom God imputeth. And that word imputeth means freely imparts. Righteousness without works. Isn't that amazing? That God gives you righteousness without working for it. And you know all our righteousness is filthy rags. So when you do it yourself by works, it's filthy rags. But his righteousness is not. He gives us his righteousness without works. Verse 13. For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Abraham believed God, and it was imparted and imputed to him for righteousness. Believing. Believing. How do I believe? Just believe. There's an old brother said that to me. He says, how do you believe? Then he says, you just believe. That's just about it, isn't it? There's no other thing till it. You just believe. Amen. But I believe God gives you that grace to believe. Do you believe that tonight? You could try to believe and not be fit to do it, but it's God that gives you the grace to believe. John Wesley was preaching and he wasn't even saved. And John Wesley went to America in the boat. They had a terrible storm and there were Moravians on that boat, and he saw the peace they had that he didn't have. He had a fear of death, they didn't have it, and it disturbed him. And he came home and he's preaching one of his own sermons and he got saved. And his father used to tell him, you need the inward witness. An inward witness. And when you really get saved, there's an inward witness because there's an inward peace. And there's a hope. And hope's not a bad word. Hope's a good word. Because the Bible says in Romans 5, hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So hope's a good word. Hope. Amen. Verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And it's by faith we come. Now I want to take you back to, if you go to Genesis 3 and verse 17, and you'll see in Genesis 3 verse 17, and a brother has it up here tonight, I'll look back in it here. Let us just read it for a moment. Genesis chapter 3 verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, excuse me, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. So God cursed the ground. You know, man never sweated a drop till sin came. There was no sweat. You said, Tom, you're out in the limb of the night. I know. And it's a good one. But I want you to get all these effects you have in your body now. God never made you originally like that. Sin brought it. You never sweated or nothing. And you know what happens when you sweat? You need a thing called a bar of soap. Yes. and water to take the smell away. There's a stink with it. And that's because there's death in the body. And that comes from sin. Man, God cursed the ground because man disobeyed God. For by one man, sin came into the world through disobedience. But thank God, God made a way. Now, Abel's blood was shed, and Abel's blood was shed from his body. And when Cain was asked about him, he didn't like it. Am I my brother's keeper, he said. You can read through Genesis, you'll see, for he slew him. But the blood had a voice. Abel's blood had a voice. Even though Abel was dead, the blood of Abel had a voice. The blood had a voice, and it cries as it speaks, and God hears it. The blood is a voice which God hears. Thy brother's blood cries to me, are the words God spoke to Cain. What did you do with your brother? And he gives God a whole spiel. A mass keeper, and then God says, your brother's blood has cried to me. In other words, Cain, you think you've hit him, but I know for he is. That's what God was telling him. You know, it's a terrible thing in this country. There's people that's been hit. The families don't even know where they are. But one day, there's going to be a writ of action and a judgment. And they'll all have to give an account. So God heard the voice of Abel's blood. The blood cried to God from the ground, the place of the curse. Genesis 3:17. It cried from the place of the curse. Now I want you for a moment to come with me, and I've preached this before over the years, but I'm preaching it again tonight because I felt led to. I want you to see the comparison and the contrast of Christ's blood and Abel's blood. There's a comparison in these two men, and there's also a contrast. Both were shepherds, is the cry of the shepherd's blood. Abel was a shepherd of the sheep. Jesus Christ is a shepherd of the sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd in Scripture. This illustrates his office as a priest in John 10:11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Abel never gave his life for others, but Christ did. Now, I'm not going to jump the gun. I'm going to take you through this step by step and get you the whole picture. He's the great shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep. This illustrates his office as a prophet, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. That's what the Lord does. If the Lord doesn't work in us, we're in a bad way. People talk about great prophets. The greatest prophet's Christ. That's the greatest prophet. And Paul the Apostle calls him the chiefest of apostles as well. How many agrees with that this evening? I tell you, he absolutely is. And Peter tells us this in 1 Peter 5:4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Hallelujah. Abel died a death of violence at the hands of a relation. He died a death of violence at the hands of a relation. Christ died a death of violence at the hands of his own people, for the Jews put him on the cross. You said, Tom, I don't know about that. Well, then you better go to the book of Psalms, and here's what you better read. Where did you receive these wounds in your hand? In the house of a friend. The word will do the preaching. Amen. John 1:11. And he came unto his own, and his own received him not. What else did it say? But as many as received him, to them give me the power, hallelujah, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. Amen. Glory to God. The blood of Abel cried, and Almighty God heard it. The blood of Christ cries, and God hears it too. The blood speaks tonight. The blood cried from the place of the curse, from the thorns of the ground. Genesis 3:17. The blood of Christ stained the thorns which Jesus wore. Don't forget the place, the crown of thorns on his brow, and they beat them into his forehead, the Jerusalem thorn. You can look up the length of it. It's inches in length, not centimeters. You can look it up yourself. I could say something and somebody could say, well, I don't believe it's that size. That's all right. But I'll tell you one thing. You ever get pricked with a thorn, even a wee small thorn, it'll open you. It'll grow blood on you. And they plotted a crown of thorns and they put them on Christ in mockery and they beat them in his forehead and the blood come down over his eyes and over his face. And there he was bleeding from the place that's represented by the curse. Now, come with me. The Bible tells us in Galatians, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. Christ become a curse. He wasn't a curse, but he become a curse so that the curse on us could be broken. Jesus took our place. Full atonement cannot be. What a Savior. Hallelujah. Full redemption he paid on the cross. Abel's blood cried from the thorns. Now come with me again. That was a comparison between Christ and Abel. Now let's see the contrast between Christ and Abel. Abel died by force. Christ died a willing sacrifice. Abel had no choice in it, but Jesus says, I must go up to Jerusalem. If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus came to go to the cross. He said, if you tear this temple down in 3 days, I'll raise it again. Calvary was an appointment. And Calvary was the place for the victory. Christ died on the cross so that we could live. He took our place. Abel died as a sacrificer, offering a lamb on the altar. Abel died as a sacrificer. I'm saying it again. Offering a lamb on the altar. Christ died as the sacrifice himself. The supreme sacrifice. Now here's a key for you. And I want you to remember this evening. It's a phrase I often say it, and it's such a true phrase. And it's a scriptural one. He's the ever living sacrifice. All other sacrifices are gone. But Christ died as the sacrifice. But he was raised again from the dead. And he's the ever-living sacrifice. The only one. Buddha and Muhammad are still in the grave tonight. They say they stand with a white horse at some of the grave, waiting on them to rise. There's just a bunch of bones there. But the tomb for Jesus lay is empty. And Christ is risen. Hallelujah. And his flesh never even seen corruption. For the psalmist David said, thou wilt not leave thy soul in hell, neither will thy flesh see corruption. That's God's word. Now that's a real sticker for the devil, isn't it? Oh, I know you have the modernist that tells you he was comatosed. And he went into a trance and he fell asleep for so many days. That's what they tell you. And they do everything to discredit the power of the resurrection. But my Bible is clear. It says he yielded up the ghost. And he died. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Jesus really died. So that we can really live. Hallelujah. He took our place on the cross. The voice of Abel's blood cried for revenge. The voice of Christ's blood cries, forgive them, Father. But they know not what to do. Abel's blood wanted revenge. Christ's blood says, forgive them. Oh, wouldn't you want the Spirit of the Lord tonight? You know, when I heard that man's testimony just a few weeks ago, I took a notion, sitting in the house to look it up. That wee girl that was murdered here all them years ago, my, it was terrible. But I had a wee friend, and that boy tried to lift him. I told you about it 1 week. And nobody believed what happened. But he told me that man tried to lift me. And he ran to the door of a house, letting on he lived there, and he could end up on and left. And that very day, he took that wee girl away, the farmer back, 9 years old. And we friends had bikes, and her father bought her a bike. And she went out on a bike. And that man murdered her. And I watched just a few weeks ago an interview they did with him. Her father's wrote a book. Wonderful Christian man. And they said, we can't understand why you don't have any hate for this man that murdered your daughter. And he said, just a minute now. I did have hate for him. He says, when it happened for a long time, if I'd have got my hands on him, I'd have killed him. I'd have been a murderer as well. But he says, I wasn't saved then. But the Lord saved me. And the Lord changed me. I want to tell you in this service tonight, when Christ changes you, your nature changes. Because my Bible says you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away. Behold, all things come new. You won't want to guzzle at the beer no more or suck the cigarette no more. You'll be delivered and you'll be changed by the power of God. And he said, when God changed him, he no more healed him, but he prayed for him. And he said he was out with his dog for a walk and he had a premonition. This was his own words. He had a premonition and God said, told him the man's name came into his mind and he said he's going to die. And he did die. And you know, when he went to court and seen him, he couldn't believe it was him because he was a wizened up. An old wizened up sinner that never got saved. A murderer that committed many murders. I want to tell you, there's a day of judgment coming. A day of judgment coming. And I tell you here, Cain was so wroth he slew Abel. But Abel's blood reported to God. And it told the whole story. And everything that men and women do will come before God. And for it not to come before God, they'll have to be washed in the blood of Jesus. And if they're not washed, their sins will be over all these walls. You'll be fit to read it. But like watching the television. Oh, I tell you something this evening. Not one of us would want our sins coming on these walls this evening. I wouldn't want my sins coming on any of these walls this evening. I'm glad the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses me from all sin. And I'm glad Jesus Christ took my place on the center cross. I'm glad he loves me tonight. And he loves you. The blood of Abel polluted the ground. The blood of Christ is preserved in heaven. As we saw this morning in the book of Hebrews 9. Christ's blood is still available. Forever. The blood of Abel was not lost, but the blood of Christ lives and shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. The blood is upon the very throne of God. Christ's blood. Oh, I love the song says, thy blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, I thank God for the bleaching of the blood tonight. I love what Reinhard Bonnke told the interviewer. They brought Reinhard Bonnke in a television program, but they set him up with an atheist. And they never told him. And then the atheist says, you're always preaching about the power of the blood. And then he said, if the blood's so powerful, why doesn't it do this and it does this and it does that? And people are dying and all, they give them a whole big spade. And Reinhard Bonnke told him about a bar of soap. Says you can go to the shop and buy a bar of soap. You can have the bar of soap in your pocket or in your coat or in the bag and you can have it with you. But you're still dirty. But you haven't used it yet. You need to bring the bar of soap home and you need to get into the bathroom and get yourself in the water and wash in the bar of soap. And when you wash with the bar of soap, your flesh becomes clean. And the blood of Jesus is available for every person, but they must apply it like the bar This morning, I showed you that it clears your very conscience. Your conscience. That's the thing that troubled me. I only could speak for myself. My conscience, I'll tell you, troubled me. God convicted me. I was convicted of sin. The things I'd done, it was like watching a program. They come up before me, I could see them. I was guilty. I was under conviction. But Jesus' blood cleansed me and washed me. Maybe there's somebody listening to me this evening in your goody two shoes. Oh, there's lots of them. Goody two shoes. I never would do that. And I would never do this. And he done that and I would never do it. Well, that's a lie to start with. You'll do anything at all if God lets you. What about Nebuchadnezzar? He wouldn't do this, he wouldn't do that. But he ended up eating the grass like a cow. God took his hand off him. And any man that can go as low as a hog and as low as a dog. And it takes the Spirit of God to change a man and change a woman. Do you believe in total depravity without Christ? Because I do. There's no goods and not so goods and levels. All nonsense. Everyone's a sinner. Marked by sin, every man and woman. You can't look down your nose at some wee boy standing in the corner drunk. Because if you're not saved, you're no better than him. Only the saved the Lord's coming for. Only the saved will enter heaven. No whoremonger, no idolater will enter the kingdom of God. Only the redeemed of the Lord will enter the kingdom of God. Jesus has died for you. But you're going to have to come. You're going to have to use that blood of Christ like the bar of soap. You're going to have to apply it in faith. And ask him to forgive you and cleanse you. And I believe the Lord will do it. I'm going to close in a moment. Hebrews 9 verse 11 to 14. But Christ being come in high priest to good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered in once into the holy places, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling unclean, sanctifying to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? It'll not, the Old Testament sacrifices, it says, to cleanse your flesh. Is that what it says? But this here's greater. It clears the conscience. It's a conscience clear. There's an awful lot of people at night and they can't sleep, you know, because of their conscience. I met a man some years ago. He's dead now. He was shot dead, murdered, not long ago. Philip was with me when I met him in a certain place. And he said to me, Tom, it's great. You're good. Oh, my God. It's great. He said, I wished I could do it. That's what he said. And he said to me, you know, could I be saved? And then he gave me a list of stuff he wanted to continue doing. And I said, well, I couldn't do them things because my conscience wouldn't allow me. And I said, if your conscience lets you do all them things, I'd be worried. Because the Bible speaks of men and women whose conscience have been sheared as with a hot iron. And that's an awful road to go down, isn't it? That the conscience no more can be pricked. And I tell you, God's Spirit will not always drive a man. People can come and sit in meetings and hear the gospel and do nothing. But they can miss their day of opportunity. God's Spirit will not always drive a man. Did you know there's a scripture said when you've witnessed to a man three times, you have no longer to tell him. That's enough. You will not be responsible if you've told somebody three times. It's on their own head. But God's long-suffering. Aren't you glad God's long-suffering? I'm not saying don't do it more than three times. I'm not saying that. I'm just quoting you the Bible. Aren't you glad God's long-suffering? Maybe some of us, he had to talk to us more than three times. Maybe a dozen times. But aren't you glad God's through with you? I'm going to read one more scripture and close in a moment. Hebrews 9, 22 to 24. And almost all things of the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood's no remission. The blood of Christ reached the whole way to heaven. He plundered hell that he might populate heaven. That's what Jesus actually done. And he took the keys of death, of hell and the grave, of the devil. And he rose triumphant over the foe. And he's living tonight. And he has shed his blood on the cross. I quoted to you about his soul. Psalm 16 verse 10. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Acts 2 verse 26, 27. Therefore did my heart rejoice, my tongue was made glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. I want you to see this tremendous phrase. My flesh shall rest in hope. That's some statement. My flesh shall rest in hope. Jesus Christ is coming again. He's coming again. And he's coming for a people that's ready. And I tell you, if you're really ready, you won't be saying, I'll go or I'll not go. You'll be tuck. Simple as that. You see, people talk about the coming of the Lord and everybody will know about it, and there were so many missing and there wasn't the news and radio. I don't believe any of that. I'm sorry. Do you know why? Because the Bible says he's coming as a thief in the night. And when the thief comes, you don't know when he's coming, but he's going to come suddenly. Unexpectedly! And you'll be gone! Out of here! People that you know could come looking for you, and you won't be there. Two will be in the bed. One taken, one left. Two will be in the field. One taken, one left. Notice it says, taken. You'll not be saying, well, maybe the next time. God has appointed time. And many believes that tonight. No man knoweth the day they are, only the Father. There's no preacher can predict when the Lord comes. If he does, he's finished. Nobody knows. But there's one thing we know it's near, isn't that right? The Lord is coming again. Let us stand on our feet this evening, and you have listened well. Maybe God is speaking to someone that's listening in tonight. I want to tell you, the Lord loves you. He loves you. God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not a Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God wants to save you. Wants to save you. I'm glad God didn't give up on me. Are you not glad he didn't give up on you? I remember a wee fella coming with tracks one day into the moor, and I hid from him. A wee brethren man. A fella called Terry Topley. He preaches down the south of Ireland, you know. He was holding meetings there a few weeks ago. The Lord bless him. He come to give me a wee track and I hid. Because I knew I was doing wrong. I had made a commitment to God as a young man. But I was away from God. I was backsliding. Backslider, tonight the Lord still loves you. You still belong to the Lord no matter what the devil tells you. Come back to Christ tonight. When the prodigal son came, the father said, sacrifice the best calf. Get the best ring. Get the best garments. That's what I'm going to dress him in. He was dead, but now he's living. He's come back. He was lost, but now he's found. It's great when the Lord finds you. The Lord knows where you are tonight. I want to tell you that in this service. I feel the Spirit of God on me tonight. The Lord knows where you are. The woman that's listening in this evening, God knows where you are. The man that's listening in this evening, God knows where you are. And he can come to where you are. If you will be sincere this evening and call upon the name of the Lord will save you tonight. He'll save you tonight. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Heavenly Father, I thank and praise you this evening for the gospel. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we were sinners by nature, sinners by birth, but you loved us and you gave yourself for us on the cross. Lord, we know you're coming again. Every one of us, as children, loved ones. Lord, we want to see them saved. We pray for the Holy Spirit to move on the young man, on the young woman, and the older man, the older woman. Have mercy upon them, Lord. We know you're long-suffering, tender toward us. Father, have your way this evening. Bless everyone that's tuned in to this service tonight. And Father, with the voice of the preacher silent, may the Holy Ghost speak on with your own word. Lord, your word will not return void, but will accomplish a thing where they ascended to go and prosper therein. Lord, bless everyone in this room this evening. I ask you for every son, every daughter. I pray you'll cover them all with your precious blood and save every one of them. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Forgive me. God bless you this evening. Just a couple of announcements. Thursday night, a prayer and Bible study at 7:30. And then next Sunday morning, Brother Mark's going to be bringing the Word of God. And pray for Brother Mark. Pray for the services. And the Lord bless every one of you. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Let us sing that hymn this evening. Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you.